So back in April, we did this series, You Asked For It, if you remember. We took the occasion that is Easter to ask you guys some questions. There was a survey that we handed out, and we asked you to give us back topics that you would want to hear a sermon on. And so you guys gave us over 100 topics. It was great reading through some of them. Some of them just off the wall. But some of them, you gave some good topics. And so we took the top five, and we did a series in April called You Asked For It, just the top five sermon topics. But the one you remember that I told you that we got the most that we didn't do, the one that we got the most that we didn't do was on family. It was just questions about the family or about marriage. Well, you know, how do I lead my family? How do I raise my crazy kids? How do I not kill my spouse? It was just, you know, or how do I kill my spouse and get away with it? I don't know. You guys put all these questions. So we took all of those and I told you we would back up and we would do a series on that. And so that's what July is. We're coming into July. We're doing a series called Built to Last. Just a series on family and relationships and marriages. And it's just building a family to last. I'll show you the series verse in just a minute. Building them to last. And it's kind of give you where we're going in July. So we have the start of the series this week, Sunday. And then next Sunday, you're going to hear from four couples in the church in kind of this quick pace question and answer format on a lot of the questions that you guys asked. And we took the topics that are facing you the most. The topics that are hitting the families and marriages and relationships the hardest. And you're going to hear from them because I wanted you to get practical and biblical advice from those who have walked the walk, from those who have been through these things. So we selected these couples carefully for things that you guys asked for that these couples can speak on, that they can do. So I honestly think next Sunday is going to be one of your favorite Sundays of the year. It's just going to be an awesome time. And then the following week on that Saturday, July 14th, we're having our Ignite Marriage Conference. And that's 9:30 to 4:30. It's a one-day conference. And we have special guests. We got an awesome guest coming, Joe McGee, to speak to you. We got great food. It's only $20 a couple. It is going to be a fantastic time. We got childcare, right? Everybody say amen. Right? So if you bring your neighbor's kids and throw them in the... No, I'm kidding with you. You know, dude. But you guys, we have this awesome marriage conference for you guys. It's just something we're so excited to offer this year. And then on the 15th, the day after, Joe's going to be with us in the service doing part three of our series on relationships and marriage and finances and family. And so he's going to be ministering on the 3rd, and then we'll let you know kind of as we get into the month a little bit later some of the other Sundays. But we're just excited. It's summer. We can do things a little bit differently. So we're excited about these mornings with you guys. But we're going to talk about today, we're going to deal with a few of your questions at the outset. Kind of just a mix up here at the beginning. Because I was trying to figure out how to start this series. Because there's something about this topic that's different. And that is that it only applies to a few of you. Each of you, you ask questions, you know, applying to your particular situation or your area or whatever it is. And that's good. That's what we wanted. But it only applies to maybe a few. So I worked hard this week to bring a message that I think applies to everyone. Whether you're married or not, whether you're in whatever it is, maybe you're dating, or even if you're not in any kind of relationship like that, or everybody's in a family, but maybe you're not, you don't have, you know, your kids or your thing. Whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever situation, I've got things today that will apply to everyone. I'm going to come at it from an idea of parenting and marriage. But every single thing that I list today applies to every relationship, every interaction you have with other people, everything in your life. So I wanted it to be relevant. And I really think that these things, what these things are, I really think that they will benefit you and change your life. Just to tell you kind of where I'm coming from, my wife Alyssa and I have been married for about 6.5 years now. And we have 3 small children at home. Elijah's 5, Liam's 3, Hava's 8 months old, and she runs the house already, so it's fantastic. She owns the house, right? Like, it's amazing to see. People told me what happened. I didn't believe them. It happened, all right? But that's where we're coming from. But over the years that I have, the short years that I have parented, and over the kind of longer years that I've looked at it and read over it, my philosophy has changed. Even over the last 8 months, my philosophy has changed. And you know what I'm talking about, right? If you've got kids, or you what you believed before you had them, you no longer believe now, right? Because once you have it, your experience changes. And that changes with the first, second, third child on, right? It just the way that you do it changes. And so when you experience it changes. So I don't know if you've had philosophies that you had set in stone. I don't know. You can come and tell me if you think they're funny. But if you had philosophies set in stone, I don't know how you change. With our first child, Elijah, we took a zillion pictures, right? We have like a million pictures of Elijah. And this is the digital age. I've got hard drives and hard drives of backed up of photo albums just of Elijah. And just to tell you how serious we are, we printed a lot of them out. Digital picture, we just print, like, it just, Walmart had my credit card on file, right? We're just print everything we had. We got them all. His baby book is a thing of beauty. It really is. Elijah's, it's got his name on the front. It's got beautiful pictures. It's got his, you know, trip home from the hospital, first haircut, first words, baby's crawling, baby's walk. It's everything in there, right? It is beautiful. Our second child, Liam, his baby book has his name on the front, right? And it's got some things in it. It kind of has gaps though, right? So it's home from the hospital and then he's like riding a bike. So I'm sorry, Liam, you have a book though. Hava, if we can find the book, we would put her name on the front of it, all right? There was a Ziploc bag at some point that had written on it, you know, add to book, and we can't find the bag either, so when she hits high school, maybe we'll buy a book and try to do it retroactively. I don't know. So it changes, right? From each, when you experience it, your philosophy changes. So I found something pretty funny that I want to share with you, and just my disclaimer from the get-go, all right? I did not write this. A woman wrote this, all right? So you can get mad at someone else. You can't get mad at me for this. And I'm going to offend maybe a few of you with this first one, right? But here's my disclaimer. I asked my wife, Alyssa, should I share this? And she said, absolutely not. And so you know it's good, right? You know it's going to be, right? I do what I want. I do what I want. That's my marriage tip. I do sometimes. I'm sorry. She's in the cry room with Hava. That's where nobody tell her. All right. So this is how your life changes child to child, okay? Maternity clothes. With your first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your OBGYN confirms your pregnancy. You're just so excited, you just throw them on. Your second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible, right? Your third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. A woman wrote this, I don't know. Amen. Can we end the service here? All right. Here we go. On staying home, your first child, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby, this wondrous thing, just amazed at the baby while it sleeps, while it wakes, while it eats, while it cries. Second child, you spend a bit every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or sitting on the baby. Third child, you spend a good bit of every day hiding from your children. All the moms say amen, everybody. Right, you're with me. We're one. We're on the same team. Going out, so when you do finally leave the house. First baby, the first time you call home every 5 minutes. Are they okay? Are they breathing? Did they say mama? Did they say dada? Do they want me? Second child, just before you walk out, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. Oh yeah, you can reach me. Third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to call only if she sees blood. Right, like limbs on the floor, you call me, and maybe not even then, all right? Right. My one chance. All right, on swallowing coins. Just let that see. First child, you rush the child to the hospital and demand x-rays, right? I want the top doctor in the state x-raying my child. You know, you find it out. Second child, you carefully watch for the coin to pass, all right? We're not going anywhere. Third child, you deduct it from their allowance. Same, right? Come on now, right? You had a quarter, I want a quarter back. Right, none of this. That is biblical wisdom, right? That is biblical. I don't care what you say, that's funny. It's funny. But here's what I know, all right? Bible says laughter is like a good medicine. So I gave you a medicine for the week. Here's what I know. There is a lot of material out there. There is a ton of good, bad, spiritual, secular. There is a ton of stuff. And you do need to do the research. You need to look up some things. And then you can kind of throw it all out and just wing it. But you do need to look at those things. And we have small groups that are just for families, just for parents, just for kids. We've got those too to do on those. And there's so much out there that you need to look into. But what I wanted to do this morning is just break it back down to the bare essentials. And it's what I'm just calling just the bare bones, the absolutes. The absolutes of family. And I told you that these five things that I'm going to tell you this morning, these five absolutes, they work for any relationship, they work for anything in your life that you're dealing with. But I wanted just to kind of give you those, the bare minimums. And I just want to share you the principles of those. I'm going to direct it towards parenting and family, I told you that. But it's going to be applying to everyone. Just biblical wisdom. And I want to start off with our series verse in Proverbs 24. It takes, and everybody say it with me, it takes wisdom to have a good family. It takes wisdom. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it takes something straight from heaven, right, to have a good family. It does. And it takes understanding to make it strong. In other words, it takes being able to understand the principle, understand the biblical side of this, and then apply it to the most radical situations in your life. If you're going to have a strong family, if you're going to have strong relationships, it takes wisdom and understanding. And so the first one this morning that I'm calling the essentials of family, the first one this morning is authentic faith. As if to say there is an inauthentic faith, which there is. Because if you want to have a strong family, you want to have wisdom, you want to have these, you have to have authentic faith. Because there's a large group of people that still are wrapped up in the idea that God is only on Sundays. That the power of God is only on Sundays. There's a whole group, and I don't think there's a lot in this room, because I've had the chance to talk with a lot of you guys, but there is a whole group that are missing out on the power of God in their lives every other day of the week. They're missing out on the power of Christianity, the power that we have as Christian families. And so that is why, number one, just authentic faith. And so I would make you aware, if you are just kind of toying or playing with God, you're just kind of dating God, right? He's just in your life, but he's not a big part, or it's not an all-consuming thing. Here's what you're missing out on. You're missing out on the power and the wisdom and the understanding that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what you're missing out on. You're missing out on a faith that is, you ready for it, dynamic in your relationships. It's dynamic, it's authentic, it's real. And you're missing out on that in your relationship. That is before you make that phone call, before you discipline, before you go out in that thing, before you have that discussion, whatever it is, before you make a decision, you're missing out on the Holy Spirit of God speaking in your life, giving you wisdom, giving you understanding. And so if you don't have this first one, there is no point in going on to the others if you don't have authentic faith, this relationship with Jesus. And so I just want to lead you. If there's one thing that comes out of victory, it's this message. That you can have something more than just attending a church on Sunday. You can have something in your life more than just attending a church. You can have this relationship with God. Not a member somewhere away. You can have a dynamic relationship with God. That you can know his voice. That you know him. That he knows you. And John 10, we read this. It says that my sheep know my voice. You can have that close relationship to you. If I have any message for you today, it's get close to Jesus. We didn't do the whole month of June about being with Jesus for you to just say, well, that was a great series in June. Let's move on to July and, you know, the family series. Now, there is no family series without Jesus. There is no moving on. There is no built to last family without Jesus. And so if I can just encourage you for one thing, best parenting advice I can give, the best marriage advice I can give is get so close to Jesus. Have that authentic faith. All right, somebody else say amen this morning, right? We got this. All right, I give you enough. You guys can go on to Piccadilly. All right, we're done. We're done this morning. That's enough from verse 1. But Proverbs 14, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. Revering the Lord. And when you, sir, or when you, ma'am, have reverence for God in your family, gives you deep strength. And look who benefits. His children have a place of refuge and security. Look who benefits when you revere God. When you, mom, revere God in your household, when you have an authentic faith, look who benefits. Your children. And so you can't go any further than this one, and I don't want to go without giving you this, and I'll give it right out of scripture, this first point. Joshua 24 says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. I actually had this on my house on the front door growing up. Every time you go in, you read this. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Make that statement. You don't have to paint this on your wall. If you do, fantastic. But make that statement over your household. That's the first irreducible minimum. So let's get a little more practical today, all right? So here's the next one. Second irreducible minimum, bare essentials, intentional schedules. Like, I realize I have time. I realize I have time. I realize I don't have a lot of it. And so I'm going to be wise in how I use it. And use my time wisely. Let me say it this way. The best families that I know, the ones that I asked while I was preparing for this, the ones that I interviewed, the ones that I asked, hey, how did you do it? How did you do this? Or how did you? They come back without fail. They come back with this one thing that we were very careful about how we did and how we did not spend our time. The ones that are doing it right, the ones that hit everything out of the park, they were very intentional about how they did and how they did not spend their time. They were intentional about what they said no to. And that's something we have to, that's one of the bare essentials of relationships, of family. And they all called it, they had different names for it, but one of the families called it couch time. And they said just every, we would turn off the TV. Somebody say amen, right? We would turn it all off and we would just spend hours just either on the couch or on the parents' bed or just tickling and playing Legos and just having conversation, just talking, just doing whatever you say. That's a bare essential. Yeah, it's a bare essential. You want to know why relationships in this country, especially between parents and their kids, are the way they are? Let Cornell University tell you, all right? They say that the average father spends 7 minutes a day with his children. That's 49 minutes a week. It's less than an hour. And the average father spends 37.7 seconds with his preschoolers. You want to know why there is a breakdown? There is no, we're shoving the iPad or the thing. And I'm not against iPads right now, all right? I've said this before. I have one, right? You understand what I'm saying? There's a way to use and enjoy technology in your home, but you can't let it raise your kids. There is a balance there. You are the gatekeeper of your home. You can't let it raise your kids. You can't let media raise your kids. You can't let cartoons or video games raise your kids. There's a way to use it and there's a way to shut it off. And so if I can give you practical advice this morning, if it needs to be shut off, you decide in your home, you are the head of your home. You decide if it needs to be shut off, just practical, shut it off. If that's what needs to happen, it's called a conversation, everybody, right? You can have them without the media. You can have them without the TV on. It works, I promise. You can have those things in your household. Be intentional about the way that you spend your time. I'm telling you, it works. And then honestly, you might not want to do 8 sports at a time. You might not want to and the dance class and the this and the that and the, you might want to just pick 1 or 2. I'm going to get everybody just be mad at me this morning, right? You might not, you want to, the Bible says if you are doing all of that, it honestly says if you live like that, you're just like shadows. If you live that way, you're shadows, just ships kind of passing in the night. If you live that way in Psalms. And so it says if you live that way, and then we move on, and it says all this rushing around, and again, it's in Psalms 39, it said all this rushing around, it leads and it ends in nothing. When you're busy like that and you're moving around, you're just like shadows moving. You're just passing each other in the house like, who are you? You know, what's your name? Haven't seen you in 20 years. You're just like shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. It just ends in nothing. You know you're too busy if you shout at your kids, hey, it's time to eat, and they go jump in the car. Right? You know you're too busy, right? That's funny. I don't care if you guys laugh or not. All right. All the rushing ends in nothing. Nobody looks back and said, if we had just done one more sport, they would have ended up okay. If we had just done one more, everybody looks back though and says, hey, I wish I had spent more time. I wish at that age or at that thing, I wish I'd spent more time. Even the ones that got it right look back and say, I wish we'd spent more time. Ecclesiastes, he said it this way, just biblical knowledge for your relationships, for your families. Better one handful with tranquility. Better a little bit with peace. Better just a little bit than 2 handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Amen. Better a little bit and you have peace. Better a little bit and you have your family together. Cohesiveness. Better a little bit than all this crazy running around trying to figure it out. Here's essential number 3 this morning, and that is probably the one that ties in the most with 1 and 2, and that is discovering purpose. Maybe the one that surprises you the most that it's on the list. Discovering. You say, why the most? Well, honestly, you can't have purpose without the first one, without authentic faith. You can't figure out what God created you to do, and you can't start doing his God-given gift for you without having that authentic faith. And once you figure out what you're here to do on this planet, you'll know how to spend your time. Once you know you have that relationship with God, you figure it all out, you know why you're on this planet, then you'll know how to have that intentional schedule. But then also moving even further for parents in your families, this is your job with your kids to help them figure out what God's purpose is for them. Amen. To be able to see that even from a young age, to figure out why they're here. You need to focus on your kids to bring out what distinguishes them from others. And you need to figure out, and I'll give you the best piece of advice that I ever received, I'll give it to you this morning, is you don't have to be good at everything. You don't. You got to find out what that one thing is that God created you for. You got to be great at that thing. And so the thing I'm already telling to my kids, the thing I'm already trying to put in there, I don't want them to be great at everything. I know that they're not going to be. I'm not setting that expectation, but I want them to find what God has for them. And that's not an excuse not to try hard. I want them to try hard, all right? That's not an excuse to just kind of lackadaisy is fine. You want to try hard. But you don't want to just go hitting at everything with all your might and miss out on the thing that God created you to do. And parents recognizing that in your kids, and all my kids are different. Even from a young age, you can tell they have different from artistic to athletic to just loud, right? They have giftings, all right? And they're all, Elijah, my older one, he can draw and paint better than I can now, right? He can draw around me in circles. It's unbelievable. And I don't have an artistic bone in my body, all right? But I'm down there on the floor with the crayons and I'm trying my best to just, you know, make it. And the other night we were drawing a police car. I wasn't going to tell you guys this, but we were drawing a police car, and I'm trying to add the sirens on top, and he's drawing the wheels, and I can tell he's distracted. He couldn't draw his part. He's just watching me real closely, right, so make sure I don't mess up his drawing. And I'm trying to draw it real close, and I can tell he wants to say something, so I just, what do you think, Elijah? And he kind of gave the long, drawn-out, Dad. He said, okay, what if you draw a car and I draw a car? And then we show each other the cars that we drew. And like, it was the nicest brush off that I've ever received in my entire life. Like the nicest way to, I can't get mad at him, right? It's just the nicest, like, okay. So he drew a car and I drew a car. We threw away my car, all right? Just, not that I'm trying to pigeonhole him into something at 5 years old. That's his gift. Just saying, I want him to try everything. And try all the different avenues. Find out what his gifting is in God. But then when he finds it, I am there to help him fulfill it. I am there to speak into his life and say, okay, yeah, that's what God wants you to do. I'm with you 100%. And that's our job as parents, to help them find what God created. I want to give this to you from Paul in Acts. And he says that, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim, the only thing, what is it, Paul? The only thing is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. And so just applying it to you, that's our calling this morning. You complete the task. Find out what that is. Discover your purpose. But then as parents, as spouses even, to be able to look into your child's life, find out what that task is. Help them in any way that we can to find that task. Every great parent that I've studied, that I've read, recognizes that task. Recognizes that unique thing. And that's why, like I said, it's for everyone this morning. That's why we put such an emphasis around here on purpose. On the growth track and the dream team and small groups, helping you find your purpose. Because every person has a task, and you are not good at everything, all right? I don't know if anyone's ever told you that. You are not good at everything. But look at me, you are great at one thing. I don't know what it is for your particular, I would love to help you find it. You are great at something, and when you find out what that is, when you figure out what God puts you on the planet for, and you start doing it, that is the game changer. That will change your life more than anything past your salvation. That will change you. You figure out what God puts you here for. You figure out why he puts you here. You figure out who he puts you around. It changes everything. And just a sub note to that, moms and dads, this is why you have to be especially careful, and spouses, and anybody who's in a relationship, especially be careful with what you say, with the words that come out of your mouth. Because it says in the Bible, you don't speak any word, right, idly, or don't speak any hurtful word, but speak life into people's situations. Speak it for their tasks, for their needs, according to their needs. Speak words to them, according to what they're doing. You go back and listen to the Father's Day message 2 weeks ago, just about parents and what the patriarchs knew about speaking blessings into their children's lives. Be careful with what you say. And if there's anything that I regret, and again, I haven't had a lot of time to build up regrets. I don't have that many. But if there's anything that I'd like to go back and do over again, it would be my words. That I would want to go back and just take back some of the things that I've said where my tongue got a little too fast for me. And I said something that I didn't really mean it, but I said it. Even this last week, I would want to go back and just take those. Be careful what you say, what you speak over your kids. That's what Jesus did. Mark chapter 10. We read this 2 weeks ago where it says Jesus took the children into his arms. Mom said, this is your job. Into his arms and blessed them. Spoke a blessing over them. Spoke life over them. This is our job. Be careful what you say, just prophetic statements, blessings, statements over your children. I'm just giving you what I believe to be the essentials. The fourth one this morning, this one is huge, affects all the others. That is right relationships. And if it's to say there are wrong relationships, which there are. Right? There are wrong relationships. Let me tell you what I know absolutely, 100%. All of you in this room, all of us in this room, myself included, are the sum total of your relationships. You are who you are because of those around you. The way that you're shaped. Let me say it this way. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me the ones your kids are hanging out with and I'll show you where they're going to end up. Some of you don't like that this morning, right? Well, like I said, every one of these is going to get you mad at me. But some of you don't like, show me who your kids are hanging. Show me who's speaking into your kids' lives. And this one is so critical. And I'll tell you why it's critical, because we put a huge emphasis on it with the small groups. That's why we put an emphasis on the small groups. Because if we can get you around people who are speaking life into your life, who are supporting you through hardships, who are encouraging you, who are asking you to find your purpose, who are trying to help you find your purpose. If we can get you around people like that, if your family can be people like that around your kids, it will change the way you live your life. It will fulfill the first three. If you can just get your relationships right, it's what ties everything together here at the church. While we're worshiping here on Sundays, while we're having the growth track, we got the dream team. When we're doing all that, the backbone of the church is our small groups. It's what holds things together. And your kids are no different. The best decisions that you will make in your relationships, in your families, in your marriage, the best decision you will make are in your relationships. Hands down. The best decisions. People ask all the time, especially at Easter on the questionnaire, how do I do this? Or where am I supposed to be? Or why? Your biggest questions are not your how or your where. Your biggest questions are not your hows or your where. Your biggest question are your whos. Who are you going to do life with? Who are you supposed to touch? Who are you supposed to reach out to? Your biggest questions, who's supposed to be around you? In Proverbs, it says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like, who he really is, what his life is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses. That is strong right there, right? Because a lot of us, we want to evaluate ourselves based just on ourselves. Look around you. We'll just speak truly right now. Look at those you surround yourself with, and that's how you are. That's what you really are like. That's what your kids. Here's a verse for you. Proverbs 13. It says, he who walks with the wise, for your kids. The kids who walk with the wise grows wise, but companion of fools goes to jail. Right? Like this is, we're just being real this morning, right? Like, look at who's around your kids. Protect. The greatest thing you will do as a parent is to be the gatekeeper of your home. And all the kids are up at their youth AM service, up in kids' zone, right? This is just you and me talking, all right? They don't know what's going on in here. Be the gate. Let your shining moment be that you kept the wolves away from your family. Let your shine. I don't care what the pushback is from your kids. Let it be that you kept them away. Not that you tied them up in a convent or a monastery or something for 30 years, right? And just don't let them outside. Don't let them even. But who is speaking into their life? Who are you allowing to speak into their life? It's people. Is it those around who are going to speak life and truth and speak to their purpose? Or is it people around them that are going to try to tear down every godly thing that you try to instill into them? Take stock of that. Let that be your legacy. And I'm going to give you the last one this morning. And this is an absolute must, the fifth irreducible, and that is amazing grace. Amazing. I like amazing grace. You know why they call it, we sing that song, Amazing Grace. You know why they call it amazing grace? Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Because not only did Jesus on the cross, not only forgive me of my sins, but the ones that I still do, he still forgives me. He's still going to forgive me. Who loves you like that? Nobody but God. Nobody loves you like that. Amazing grace. Who treats you like that? Nobody but God. And let me say it this way. Your relationships need the same grace. Or I'll say this. There is no one on earth that you can be in relationship with. There is nobody on earth. I don't care if it's a spouse or it's a kid or it's just a friend. There's nobody on earth that you can be in a relationship with that does not need grace to stay in relationship with that person. Yourself included. Amen. All right. There's nothing on earth that does not need grace. And I recognize that in my kids. Relationships are tough. And you recognize that in your kids, they're going to screw up, and we hold them to that perfect standard where you're just going to have to find another place to live now, right? Elijah, you disobeyed me today, right? Just take your pillow and start walking. They're going to screw up, and hear me this way: those of you who have older kids, your kids are going to screw. They're going to blow it. They're going to blow it royally. All right, you know that already, but maybe if you don't, they are going to, and you know who they need more than ever when they do? You. You know they need to love them more than ever when they blow it up and there is pandemonium and there is craziness. You know what they need in that moment to love? And you can talk about it later, right? You're not happy. You can. We're going to have it. But in that moment, you know who they need to love them more? You. They need you more. And the song we've been singing the last few months, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. Let that be your anthem, parents. Let that be your anthem. And I like it applies in a few different ways, right? Chases them down, fights when you're found, right? Leaves this next time you're in the bridge, right? The next time you're a teenager, slams that door. No wall you won't kick down. No lie, right? You won't find out, right? Just let that be your anthem. Reckless, just overwhelming, never ending. You're just going to love them. You're the one they need the most in those moments. In their worst moment. I want to read you a letter. This is from a son to a dad. His dad is a father who didn't get that, didn't give grace, kind of blew up at every situation. And he found this letter on his son's pillow in his bedroom. It says, "Dear Dad, it is with great sorrow and regret that I'm writing you. It says, I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Stacy. She's so nice, but I knew you would not approve of her because of her piercings, tattoos, tight clothes, and because she's much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Stacy said that we would be very happy together. She has her own trailer in the woods, has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We're sharing the dream of hopefully having more children. Stacy has opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana really doesn't hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with other people in the commune for all the cocaine and ecstasy that we want. So don't worry, Dad. I know I'm only 15, but I know how to take care of myself. Someday I'm sure that we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your grandchildren. Love, your son, John. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house, and I just wanted to remind you there are worse things than the report card that's in my desk drawer." Somebody say grace. I had you till the last one. Some of you are like, "Oh my God. Right. I love my kids so much more now." Somebody, right? Grace. Somebody say, "It takes grace." Okay, I want to say something. Listen to me. Right now, and this is, I want to end this a little bit differently. I just felt, as I was going through, I want to end this. Right now, somebody in this room, somebody listening, is thinking about bailing. Somebody is thinking about getting out, whether it's in your marriage or on your parents or your kids. Somebody is thinking about the other side, right? Somebody is thinking, "I just want to get out. The grass is greener on the other side." No. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And somebody is thinking, and I just felt this on my heart last night as I was preparing, and so I just want to do this a little differently than we normally end. Every relationship takes grace, and you have to come to grips with that, the fact that the devil is trying to destroy your relationships. The devil is trying to tear that away from you. I don't know what it is. I don't know who it's for, but he's trying to destroy that. And Jesus said, "A house divided against itself, it cannot stand." It can't. And so you say, "Well, you just don't know. It's too difficult. You know, you think it's too difficult." Let me give you the word of the Lord. This is not me speaking to you. Jesus said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in the same way." You say, "Yeah, I can't do it." Yeah, you can, though, if you remember how much Christ forgave you. Amen. Let me say this way. You will never forgive someone on this earth more than Jesus Christ forgave you. You will never, and he says, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave you. So every time I think I can't take it, every time I think this is too much, I remind myself of how much Jesus had to forgive me. How much Jesus had to forgive me. This is not some abstract theological thought. Think about yourself. How much were you forgiven? And so I'm studying all of this. I'm trying to put together this message, and I'm just stuck on this fifth point. I can't get off of it. And so I feel like here on July 1st, here at Victory, God is going to do a work. He's going to heal some relationships once and for all. And we're going into this. We're building a family to last. But right now, I think he's going to heal relationships. Just be open to that. What I'm hoping is going to be a moment for you. It's this amazing grace. And I've got a word for you. It comes out of the book of Ecclesiastes. And some of you know this verse. You don't know it's in the Bible. You know it from a song. I don't know. Turn. Whatever it is. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born. A time to die. time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it all makes sense. It all kind of makes sense until you get to verse 5. And it says there's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. You say, well, what in the world? It doesn't make sense like the other ones. It goes back to an Old Testament observance that I think needs to be made in your life this morning. Because back in Genesis 31, there's a story about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And he's gone to live and he has this issue with his father-in-law, Laban. And let me say it first at the outset, rightfully so. He has this relational issue with Laban, his father-in-law, rightfully so. Laban is no friend to Jacob. He cheats him any way that he can. He works him 20 years for his daughters. He does all these. He is no friend to Jacob. Jacob has a right. And Jacob even took the weakest flocks. And he said, let my father-in-law have the healthy ones. I'll even take the weakest. And God blesses Jacob even more. And it makes Laban furious because God is blessing him and Laban is not prospering. And it's just, it has this. So finally, Jacob can take no more of this. So he gets his children, his grandchildren, his wives and his herds and his flocks and his servants, gets them all together and he flees in the night. And Laban finds out a couple of days later, he figures out what happens, and Laban is furious. And so he chases Jacob down across the desert. And just before he catches up to him, so it's the night before, he's close. Just before he does, an angel of the Lord appears to Laban. An angel of the Lord appears to him and he tells him, don't you do what is in your heart to do. And I would pray that that is a message just to somebody this morning. Somebody who said, I'm going to bail. Somebody who said, it's too hard. I'm getting out of this marriage. Or I'm getting out of this family. Or I'm getting out from my kids or my parents. Whatever it is. Somebody who said that. Let that be. Don't you do what you've said in your heart that you're going to do. Instead, come and be reconciled. And so Laban comes to Jacob. And Jacob is bracing for a fight. He's getting ready for this. And Laban comes to him. And he says, come now, and this is the words I want to focus on. He says, come now, let us make a covenant, you and I. And so Jacob pulls up a stone and sets it. And then it says, Jacob says, he says to his family members, he says to his brother, gather stones. There is a time to gather stones. Because there's a tradition in their culture with stones. You had two options. You could either take the stone and throw it at each other, right? Stoning people. Or you could take them and you could pile them up as an altar before the Lord. You could pile them up before God. So they would take these stones, and these represented, hey, remember that time that you said, clunk. Or remember when you said you would do this, and then you did this, clunk. Or remember you promised me, and then you, clunk. And so this morning you have a choice to either scatter your offenses, scatter your stones out, or to gather them as an altar before the Lord. You have a choice. To either take those offenses and cast them, to scatter those stones, you have a choice to gather. And I'm encouraging you this morning, if I could, encouraging you to gather stones. So they took stones and piled them in a heap and they ate there by the, this was also a tradition. I love it, right? Whenever they would seal a promise with a meal. I just love that. I love that. They would just eat with, I don't know, maybe that's where the Baptists got it from. I don't know, but they would seal a promise with a meal. And they would eat and they would make their altar before the Lord. And so I would encourage you with one thing with this last point is to give grace. To give grace. The grace that you so desperately needed. That you so desperately need that Jesus Christ gives you. To give that grace. Don't do what you've said in your heart to do. Gather stones instead. Let me give you, you say, well, what does it look like to gather stones? Three quick things and then we're going to close. First one is acknowledge your mistakes. You want to start to gather the stones. You want to start to bring in those things instead of casting your offenses out. It's to acknowledge your mistake. And let me say this. Everybody has a role in this. Everybody, you say, well, not me. No, well, then maybe you don't agree with the next verse. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done something. Every last one, myself included, we have done something. But being able to acknowledge your mistake. I'm not going to even bring your into the equation. I'm not going to bring what you did to me. I'm not going to bring what you say. I'm going to bring myself with my brokenness and my shortcomings and my failures. I'm going to bring those before the Lord first. And Jesus said that. He said it in Matthew chapter 7. He said, why are you looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you don't see the 2x4 sticking out of your own? Why are you looking at the sawdust in your brother's eye? So here's the second one, right? I'm going to help you gather stones today. The second one is abandon your rights to get even. Acknowledge your mistakes. Abandon your rights to get even. See, we live in a culture, okay, where you say, okay, I'm going to gather stones, but then I also want to sue them, right? And I want somebody to tell me that I was right. I'll gather them and I'll forgive, right? I'll do all I need, but I also want somebody to tell me that I was right. Here's just a thought. Christians don't get revenge. Christians forgive. You say, well, that's kind of radical. Yeah, but it's in the Jesus in your Bible. That's who we're called to be as Christians. With nails in our hands and blood coming out of our face, we say, Father, forgive them. And they don't know what they're doing. That's probably one of the hardest things that can come out of the Bible for Christians. Something we maybe forget. And you say, it's radical, but it's there. It's in the Bible. And honestly, the other way is not working too well, is it? Where you're eye for an eye. So if you begin to gather stones, you acknowledge your own mistakes, and then you abandon your right to get even. So what do? We do what it says in Romans. Don't take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I'll repay, says the Lord. In other words, he's telling you, and you think, gather stones, acknowledge your own mistakes, and then step back from it. Abandon your right to get even. Leave it in God's hand. God said, I'll take care of it. Be able to trust him enough that he will. But then you step back. You step back and you put it in. And then the last one this morning, apply God's grace. Apply God's grace. Give grace. Give grace. Give grace. And there is no more important thing I can tell you this morning. I don't know where you are. I don't know who this speaks to. Give grace. Gather stones. Be reconciled. Don't do what's in your heart to do. What you said you're going to do. Gather stones, give grace. Just bow your heads with me this morning. God, I pray right here, Lord, that this can just be a holy moment. Lord, I pray right now, God, that we have this opportunity to gather stones. I pray, God, that we have this opportunity, Father, to gather, not to scatter. And so I pray for the courage to say, God, that's enough. Enough's enough. I'm tired of this relationship being this way, God. I'm tired of my marriage being this way. I'm tired of my relationship with my kids being that way. Lord, we just say enough's enough. And we're able, Lord, just to get back to the basics, Father, just to offer our relationships to you. That we can extend the same grace that you've given us. We can extend that to our marriage, to our families, to our kids. We can give that same grace, that same forgiveness. So today, Lord, by your grace, everyone who's listening to my voice, God, we begin to gather stones. We build an altar right here, Father, in this room to you. That you would bring healing, Father, to hearts. Bring healing to hearts. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Just keep your heads bowed with me, just in an attitude of worship. Your eyes closed. I didn't have a chance to read this verse to you, but the Bible says in 1 John, whoever does not love does not know God. In other words, if you're not loving, kind of the reason is you do not know God. If you don't love God, if you're not loving in your relationships, you can't give grace unless you have it. Unless you've been given grace, you can't extend it. And so some of you this moment, just keep your heads bowed, just be praying. Some of you this moment, you came in with guilt and shame and the weight of your sins on you. And you've never had that grace. You can't extend it in your family or in your marriage or in your relationships. You can't extend that grace because you've never been shown it. You've never surrendered that to Jesus. You've never been given. You say, well, how do I get in on that? You give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Say, well, how do I get in on that grace? How do I receive it? Give your life. You let God heal your heart today. And we're all bowing our heads in prayer with you this morning. And some of you, you've made that decision before. But if you're honest, you've walked away from God. He's no longer in control of your life. You're pulling the shots. You're calling. You got the reins. You got the steering wheel. You're no longer. And it's not working. Can I just say two words to you? If you felt like you've strayed so far, if I could just say two words. Come home. Come home. home. The Father waits for you. It's time. It's time to give Jesus everything. You've played around with it. You've kind of thought about it. You've gone through some sermons. You've heard some things that spoke to you, but you've never made that decision, or you did and then you walked away. Just come home. Jesus is waiting for you. So I'm going to pray for you this morning, just right where you are. I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. Just right where you're seated. And every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Nobody's looking around. But you say, I'm ready to be forgiven. I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm ready to come home. I want to go all in with God. I'm ready to rededicate my life. Whatever you say, I'm ready to get saved for the first time. If that's you, you say, count me in that prayer. If that's you this morning, you say, count me in that prayer. I want you to pray over. I want to pray that this morning. Count me. I want to rededicate, or I want to get saved. Count me in that prayer. If that's you, no hesitation. Just slip your hand up this morning. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to do that. I want to rededicate. Thank you in the back. And we're not rushing through. This is my favorite time of the service. It's a chance for you. If that's you, you want to have that chance. Nobody's watching you. Say, hey, include me in that prayer. That's you this morning. Just slip your hand. We're going to pray with those three. We're going to pray with you. So I'm going to give you the words. The only thing I can't do for you is mean it. We're just going to bow our heads. Just mean it in your heart. You have to pray these, or you can say them out loud. You can say them in your heart. But just mean it. I'm going to give you the words, and we're going to pray it with you. Come on, guys. We're going to pray with those three. Let's say these. Say, Jesus. Dear Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for grace. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for a second chance. And today I receive it. Come live inside of me. Change me. Make me a new creation. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Today I surrender my life to you. Pray, God, I thank you for every life that just said that, Lord. Every person who just prayed that prayer. God, that you made clean. God, every person who came home this morning. God, that now you're making a home for them in heaven. God, I pray a blessing over their life, God, that they begin to confess you as Lord. That you make them a brand new creation. I bless them, Lord. Come on, let me just say a prayer over the families. Just a prayer blessing. I just want to bless them. God, I pray for every family, every parent. God, I pray for every kid who are still at home. I pray for every kid who's run far from home. Lord, I pray for every parent who is just doing their best, God, to parent those kids. I pray a blessing over every mom and dad, God, who's just doing their best, Lord. I pray for every marriage, God. I pray for marriages that are on the rocks. God, I pray for reconciliation. God, I pray for great grace. Lord, I pray you put that in our hearts, that we're able to extend grace, God, that it doesn't matter about the other person, what they did, what they said. That you, God, give us that ability to begin to extend great grace. That we have marriages and families that are built to last. Because we built them on the rock that is Jesus Christ. God, give us wisdom as we live out our faith authentically, God. Give us wisdom. I pray, God, as we try to figure out our schedules and what we do, Lord, that we're able to slow down. Give us grace today, Lord, to discover our purpose. Lord, to get our friendship and our relationships right. God, we need your grace. We need your amazing grace, Lord. So I pray a blessing, Father, over every parent, every child, every friend, every spouse. God, every person. You just begin to show us amazing grace, and we begin to extend it, Lord. And we pray. pray it, God, this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Come on, guys, let's stand up. Let's give God a shout of praise this morning. Stand up with me. We're just going to end the service in worshiping today. Just begin to lift your voice, lift your praise. Come on, let's go and let's extend grace this week.
Today. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey guys, you have a great week. We're going to have prayer down front if you'd like. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.